Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Mujahat Ali.
And this is Super Thursday.
Super Thursday.
We are going to run through all of the political news that dropped since Super Tuesday. And Waj, let me tell you something. When it comes to trying to fill our docket of what we're going to discuss, it is never like, oh, there's not a lot of news today. Yeah. It's always like, oh, how can we do this with the time that we have? But let's start off with what happened on Super Tuesday, and the fact that, you know, four times indicted, 91 counts against him, found guilty of rape, found guilty of being a grifter and a fraud, has cleared the field and become the Republican nominee for president for the third time, Donald J. Trump.
But what about Nikki?
Say you?
What about Nikki Haley?
What about Nikki? Please tell the people about Nikki.
So, you know, we don't want to do the horse race here. We want to tell you about the stakes. And I'm glad, Danielle, you mentioned that he has 91 criminal counts in four different states, four cases. He's lost to E. Jean Carroll. He was held liable for millions of dollars for sexual assault, and also lost his defamation case, and also cannot do business in New York, and also owes more than $300 million. And that man, Danielle, got about 76% of the white evangelical Christian vote in place like Virginia. That has been a consistent trend, late high 70s, low 80s of the white evangelical Christian base keep going for a corrupt, lying vulgarian who was twice impeached and again was held liable for rape against E. Jean Carroll.
Right.
And I think, you know, there is some good news here. Don't worry, there was some good news on Super Tuesday, but I just want, you know, just to lay the stakes out. He's the guy who beat Nikki Haley. All right. Who was allegedly the moderate, the same woman who said that she didn't know what caused slavery was the moderate. Just to let you know, folks, what moderate actually means. It means bullshit. It means nothing. It means nothing now for the GOP, right? And here we are. And the same person who incited an insurrection, who mocks and ridicules all of his allies, including Mitch McConnell, everybody, as of Wednesday, bent the knee. Mitch McConnell, who is going to be in the grave pretty soon, has nothing to lose, is going to retire. He just announced he's going to retire last week. He's not going to join a corporate board, right? He literally has nothing to lose. He could have shown just a scintilla of pride, of spine. Guess who he endorsed today?
Well, I mean, you know, he said the voters have decided, and the voters seem to have chosen Donald Trump, and therefore I too will choose Donald Trump. The man who I got on the floor of the Senate and said was dangerous, but that only lasted about 5 minutes after Mitch McConnell and other Republicans were running for their lives on January 6, 2021. So the man with nothing to lose still decided that power.
There you go.
Is more important than anything else.
And can
stay
I also,
true to yourself, Mitch.
Yeah,
stay true.
Can I also add, and this is why the stakes are so important, Mitch McConnell was the same man whom Trump called a dumb son of a bitch, stone cold loser, rhino, broken down crow. he mocked his Asian American wife, Elaine Chao, who was also part of Trump's cabinet, called her Coco Chow, China loving wife. And Mitch McConnell, after January 6th, openly talked about how essentially Donald Trump was responsible for it. But even then, with all that, he still bends the knee. Elise Stefanik, who started off her career as an alleged moderate, a liberal Republican, someone who's different, right? She got pressed by the journalists to speak about E. Jean Carroll. They said, "Do you believe E. Jean Carroll?" And this was what she says. "No, of course not. The media is so biased. This is just another example of the media being out of touch." Then NBC News countered, "It's not the media. It's the jury that found him sexually, that he sexually abused E. Jean Carroll." And what did she say? "I'm going to bend the knee." Marjorie Taylor Greene bent the knee. The entire Republican Party, Danielle, is an extremist movement that has bent the knee to Donald J. Trump and has transformed in his image. And I have to talk about, and I have to bring this up, and I need you to talk about it, Danielle. I got to bring up this. It is North Carolina GOP nominee for governor, Mark Robinson. Also one. Tell me about Mark Robinson, Danielle.
What can be said about a man who has denied the Holocaust? A man that has said that LGBTQ people have no place in society, that does not believe in birth control, that does not believe in IVF, that doesn't necessarily, that doesn't believe in Black people, as a matter, of fact.
Black people, he said Black people. Black people owe reparations to white people and should thank white people for bringing Black people here as slaves. Can't make it up.
He makes you long for the days of Herschel Walker.
Oh,
let's just say that.
What a quote.
He makes you long for the days of Herschel Walker. He is who, and this is, I just want to say, like, for the Republican Party that says that they are, you know, courting Black people. And how do they court Black people, Waj? You know, with their gaudy fucking sneakers, with AI, right? Because it's been reported out that there are no Black people that are surrounding Donald Trump in any of these pictures or at these events. It is AI. Generated Black folks, and that mugshots, you know, will get Black people. But this is the kind of Black person that they put up for to run for office. So you look at this guy, Robinson. You look at Herschel Walker, right? You look at the faceless Black man, Tim Scott. You look at all of these. There are words that I will use, but I'll just use the word clowns that surround the Republican Party that are their scarecrows, right? So that they can say that they're not racist. They're self-hating, despicable tools. They're the character in Django.
Samuel L. Jackson played.
Right? No. Mass is dying and it's no. I just love Trump. That's what Tim Scott said, right? I just love Trump. I don't hate Nikki Haley and her brown skin. I just love Trump. Ugh.
And then he threw Nikki Haley under the bus and he said he doesn't want any of the donations and votes for the people who voted for Nikki Haley, which is probably going to be a very dumb move, because the one silver lining that we have seen is Republican voters, Danielle, and this would be bigger news and should be bigger news, perhaps as big as news as Biden's age. In Virginia and some other states, from about 30 to 40% of Republican voters went for Haley. Like a quarter of Republican voters in North Carolina went for Haley. And Haley actually won, wait for it, Vermont. So if I'm sitting there, and some of these folks who were then interviewed, especially where I am in Virginia, these Republicans are like, if Trump is a nominee, I'm not going to vote for him. In fact, they said, I'll just hold my nose and vote for Biden. So that means Trump has weakened in the past 4 years. That's the one positive spin here, if you can get out of it, is that a lot of these Republicans are sick and tired of it. They realize that these clowns, and you were very kind in your use of language, like Mark Robinson, are now the present and future of the party. And the fact that the Republican Party now one of its leaders, who is now resigning, has bent the knee completely and wholly to the golden calf of Trump. And they're like, you know what? I can't support this. I'll give you an example. Our neighbors, I've talked about them before, really nice people, conservative, Christian, very practicing, Republican their entire life. They openly say, I can't vote for Trump. I refuse. And they actually went for Haley, and they were begging and praying and hoping that other Republicans went for Haley. But they're like, if it's Trump, I'm not voting for him. And so there's an opening here for Biden. Now, speaking about the stakes, though, mm-hmm, not all is mm-hmm. rosy for Biden, because you and I, we joke about mm-hmm. this, we are the brown and black Paul Revere. We're trying to save America. We're oftentimes right. And instead of saying, oh, hey, Danielle and Waj, thanks for being right all the time, we get shot off the horse. And we're like, we're mm-hmm. just trying to save you. We talked about the uncommitted vote last week. And some people dismissed it as these crazy radicals, these lefties, these pro-Palestinian people. Ignore them. Well, look at Minnesota, which didn't have mm-hmm. the organization of Michigan. What percentage of Minnesota voters went uncommitted yesterday, Danny?
It wasn't double digits, right?
But it was double digits.
Was it double digits? I didn't know. You tell the people.
No, it was 20%. It was 20% and the percentage
20.
Vote. Yeah, it was about 20%. And also what came out today was officially more uncommitted votes in a Minnesota primary than the margin between Clinton and Trump in the state in the 2016 general election. And as we know, folks, this election is going to come down to about 6 to 8 states. That's how it works. Completely effed up. Can the Biden administration afford to continue ignoring, which is no longer just Muslims and Arabs, because in Minnesota, folks, it was also Jews and other progressive voters and Black voters mm-hmm. who joined the mm-hmm. Muslims and Arabs in their uncommitted vote to protest what is happening in Gaza, which many people are calling a genocide. And I'll also say this, Adam Schiff, he won in California. I don't mm-hmm. know if you saw this clip, Danielle, but during his entire victory speech, it was interrupted by protesters chanting for ceasefire. So mm-hmm. are we wrong on this? Maybe we are.
No,
I don't think so. I think it's a warning sign.
Here's the thing. And I had one of my followers say, you know, that her family and friends in Ohio, not in Minnesota, also put in for their primary vote uncommitted. And they said, they wrote uncommitted and ceasefire. That's what they wrote in. And she goes, Danielle, I couldn't bring myself to do it, even though I agree with them, because I'm too scared. I'm even too scared to do it in a primary vote. She goes, I believe what the uncommitted people are saying, and I believe in the protest, but I'm really terrified. And here's the thing. I believe that these protest votes in this moment, in these primaries, matter. I think that the Biden campaign has got to understand that this issue that they think that they can just sweep under the rug or be patted on the back for dropping some fucking aid when they are sending the money to drop bombs, right? That people are going to forget. The thing is that we have made ourselves believe that Americans don't care about foreign policy, right? That foreign policy is not going to, I was told this a couple of months ago, foreign policy is not going to play in the general election. It never does. I said, don't talk to me about never, ever again, right? We've lived through a global health pandemic, historic climate change, Donald Trump running for a third goddamn time. Don't talk to me about what would never it be at play. And so I think that these uncommitted votes matter, but I also believe, being as how Donald Trump said that Netanyahu needs to finish the job.
There you go.
That's exactly what he said. So for folks who are protest voting, and again, you have the absolute right to do so, I believe that come November, they know exactly what it is that they have to fucking do. And the thing that I keep saying is that you can't fight for democracy elsewhere if you lose it in your own country. Yeah. So when Donald Trump says, hey, Netanyahu, thumbs up, finish the job. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it isn't going to be even any airdrops of humanitarian aid. It's not going to be any calls for humanitarian aid. It's going to be like, bulldoze those fucking people, black out the cameras, you know, and just end it. And that's what it's going to be. So that's the thing that people need to understand. And I believe that they do. But this administration needs to take really seriously. From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And I think they are because you saw the Vice President, Kamala Harris, she actually called for a ceasefire, but with conditions. And when she actually called for the ceasefire, huge applause from that audience. It wasn't just Muslims and Arabs. And later on, we found out that she was even going to be a little bit more strident, but then the White House scaled back some of her words. That happened a few days after the Michigan uncommitted vote. Now, after what happened in Minnesota, and specifically what happened today, where Israel just gave a middle finger to Biden. I don't know if you saw this news. They announced the building of 3,000 more settlements.
Yeah. 3,400.
Yeah, 3,400 settlements in the West Bank. By the way, folks, for those who don't know, the West Bank is considered occupied. And building settlements is also seen as illegal, but the United, the United States doesn't seem to really care. But because because President Biden met Benny Gantz, a cabinet minister, the next day Israel's like, "All right, mother effers, we'll show you. We'll keep humiliating you some more." So this is where I feel Biden and the Democrats, whom I have criticized for being utterly ossified in the 1970s on this issue, really need to see where a lot of progressives are. It's not just the fringe folks. It's not just the Muslims and Arabs. Increasingly, as this becomes more and more ugly, and if this war continues to summer and if nothing changes, I'm very worried about these uncommitted voters who also, many of them will be swayed by this both sides nonsense of Biden's age, even though mother effing Donald Trump slurs his words without a stutter and thinks he's running against Obama and is 78 years old, is going to come to a vote of margins, Daniel. And so it's one of those warning signs where you and I have been correct. You and I also said, allow us to flex, folks. This is the small joys we get. We can't fail up like so many of our peers, right? But we said that abortion rights and defense of democracy would be major kitchen table issues before the midterm elections. And what happened, folks? The establishment folks who get paid a lot of money to be wrong said, no, it won't. And what was the top five issue? What brought out the voters? Abortion.
Democracy.
Abortion. And so this is where yesterday, after the results came out, Biden did say something which made me happy. And I'm sitting there just pissed off. Why don't Democrats, and especially Biden, do this more? He said after Trump won, except Vermont, Trump is determined to destroy our democracy. That's an exact quote from Biden. And I said, thank you. For the love of God, go on offense. Say this every day. Remember when he accidentally used the word semi-fascism and it got leaked? And then all these Democrats were riled up and he's like, oh, this works. Let me run with semi-fascism and dark Brandon. Like, where is that sense of urgency, Danielle?
Like, here's the thing. So, you know, by the time that folks are listening to this, it will also be the State of the Union, right? So we will get understand whether or not Joe Biden continues in the direction of what is at stake. Now, we know that you can't use the State of the Union as a campaign rally, but you sure as hell can talk about what we have lost over the last, as the members of the Supreme Court will be sitting front row, right? So you're talking about, oh, I don't know, access to abortion, birth control, IVF, right? You're talking about the vote. You're talking about the ability to read books. You're talking about the ability to live free as an LGBTQ plus person to be trans, right? So we are talking about so many things. And the thing that this campaign, the Biden campaign, has got to wrap its arms around, and everyone, where the fuck are the surrogates, right? Because like, I don't know where people are. Were they just hiding and waiting and thinking that Nikki Haley was going to like come out on top? But the fact is that from now, this moment on, we are in election mode, right? Like, it is the face-off again. And the face-off is not between Trump and Biden. It is between democracy and authoritarianism.
That's right.
So there should not be a Democrat surrogate that is going on, or the president should never get on television and not talk about democracy and freedoms being at stake. Like, that's the only thing you should talk about. So what do you think the American people care about? Their freedom, right? The freedom to choose and create a family if they so want, right? The freedom to read a book. Right. The freedom to send your kids to school knowing that they won't end up dead. Mm. Right. Like, so these are very real, visceral things that this campaign needs to not back away from.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rina Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
And you know, I believe that the overarching message should be that Donald Trump and Republicans want to take away your rights. Democrats will fight for them. They want to take us backward. We're going to move you forward. I think the three things he should focus on, first and foremost, women's rights, right to abortion, and just use the case in Alabama where the conservative Supreme Court took away the right to IVF, use their own quotes against them. Second thing, bring up the fact that Donald Trump has 91 criminal counts, violent insurrection, that they're literally attacking our democracy. Third thing I would say, Social Security and Medicare. Rand Paul, like, literally has a quote saying, We got to end Social Security and Medicare. Last time he did this, he got the huge applause. Remember when he improvised, went back and forth? That was like the highlight.
That was the last State of the Union.
Yeah, that was the last State of the Union. And Americans are like, oh, shit, they want to take away our Social Security and Medicare. And then Democrats put up these clips. That was the win. Greg Sargent, who got let go from Washington Post, because that's what's happening all across the news industry, that media is consolidating and local newspapers are folding, investigative journalists are being fired, and journalists are being let go right before this pivotal election, Daniel, which you mentioned is a fight between democracy and authoritarianism. Greg Sargent did great work at Washington Post. He got let go, but thankfully he got picked up somewhere else, and he did a post yesterday where the study shows that a majority of Democratic voters and a majority of American voters don't know that Donald Trump openly said that he will be dictator for a day. Whose fault is that, Danielle?
I mean, like, it is the media's fault. But let me tell you also, it is the Biden administration's fault.
I agree with
Donald Trump writes their commercials for them, writes their billboards for them. You don't have to put in any work whatsoever.
You have to be a stenographer. Just be a stenographer.
Yeah.
Someone who can
run the clip and just say, brought to you by the Biden campaign. Run the clips, right? Like, remind people of who he is. And then also show the faces of all the Republicans that are applauding him, that are cheering him on. Be like, it isn't just him. It's the entirety of the party. Vote up and down the ticket. Democrats only, right? Like, I just never thought, and this is what I'll say, Waj, this is the third election that we're going up against fascism. 2016, we thought it was a joke, right?
I did not think it was a joke.
But America thought it was a joke, right? They said, ah, ha, ha, he's funny. He won't really be president. I don't really care what Hillary Clinton is saying and warning. Fascism.
She has a vagina.
Fascism was let in, right? And that was the thing. She told us it was clear, but what about our emails? And what about the fact that she's a woman?
That's right.
We had an opportunity then to shut Donald Trump down. We didn't. So we came back in 2020 in the midst of a pandemic without vaccinations.
That's right.
Stood in lines with masks on and said, hell no. And we thought that we were done. 2024, it's like, you know, I don't know, you give them some type of Avengers, some type of some type of comic book analysis, but like, this is it.
It's Thanos Endgame. It's Endgame, Avengers Endgame. Thanos is bringing whatever he has against the Avengers who are beleaguered. And as we know, and folks, if you haven't, we're going to talk about this, you know, on future episodes, but read 2025, read Project 2025 that is published by the Heritage Foundation and co-signed by nearly every single major conservative organization that gives you the blueprint of what they want to do once they get in power. They're openly telling you their fascist plot. I've used this analogy before in Democracy-ish because it's apt. It's like a Bond villain before the music scene, literally giving a PowerPoint to James Bond, like literally meeting James Bond, like going up to him, excuse me, are you James Bond? Oh, okay. I'm the villain that you're going to try to find. Let me tell you the plot. They're going after women's rights, Medicare, Social Security, purging every single public servant who's not a loyalist, using the Department of Justice to go after, quote unquote, their enemies. They're literally have the blueprint. They're telling you, this is what will happen. And you have this guy trying to bring it back full circle, this black man who is the GOP nominee for governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, who has quoted Adolf Hitler, called gay people filth, threatened to use an AR-15 on federal officials, says black people should thank white people and give white people reparations, and called the Holocaust hogwash. This is the present and future of the Republican Party. This is what is at stake. And my final question to you, Danielle, as we head out, because we're recording this right before the State of the Union, and we'll record again next week. What do you want Biden to say at the State of the Union? What do you want to hear?
The only thing that I want to hear is freedom is at stake. I don't want to hear about any of, I'm going to be honest. I don't want to hear about your wins. I don't want to hear about where the economy is. I want to hear you. Donald Trump painted the dark picture in his Super Tuesday win. I want Biden to paint the real picture. This is about. Like, America and our future and future generations are at stake, right? Like, everything is at stake. You're in a moment where you may be weary, right? Like, I need him to be a cheerleader for freedom and our rights, to say the things that we've enjoyed. You know, Kamala Harris just marched in Selma, you know, for the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, right? The place in which, you know, she said, oh, the 6-week ceasefire, right? Like, we need them to be the cheerleaders of freedom and rights and talk very clearly about the fact, you see these Republicans right here? They just voted against federal protections for IVF. So you can't, like, tell the truth, right? Tell the American people the truth about who that other party is that's going to be booing and trying to shout him down, and that they are trying to shout down our democracy. That's it.
I will add one thing. I want him to be a cheerleader for our freedoms, rights, and democracy, and I demand that he emerges as a fighter for it. Show me your fight. Show me your passion, you 81-year-old man. Show it to me. I need to hear it, and Democrats need to hear it. That's what I want to hear.
Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Mujahid Ali.
And we will be back next week. If, in fact, dear friends, we have a country left, and, you know, freedom of speech is still a thing, as well as freedom of the press. Inshallah.